Presenter is Dr. Emmanuel Taylor. He's with the Center to Reduce Cancer Health Disparities at the National Cancer Institute at NIH. He's a health scientist administrator with the Center to Reduce Cancer Health Disparities, and he directs the program evaluation for all the center's programs which are aimed to reduce cancer health disparities. Thank you.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It appears to me that most of you in this room are somewhat familiar with the CNP. And if you're not familiar with the CNP, hopefully by the time I get through with my presentation, you will have some idea about what we've been working on. As the slide indicated, this is to give you somewhat of a progress report. We are only very early in the collection and analysis of outcomes data. So basically what you will see is brief synopsis of what we are. And I will also be using some examples from various sites, so it would not be like a cumulative presentation of what everybody's done. So I'll be picking some examples to show you the progress that we're making so far. Before I go forward, I need to acknowledge my partners in presenting this particular presentation to you. First of all, I'd like to acknowledge our community-based PIs, their staff and the local evaluators, my fellow CRCHD program directors for their critical analysis of my slides in preparation for this session, the CSR, our contractor, for all their effort, and we have them in the audience. But most importantly, we would like to acknowledge our CNP community partners. Without them, we will have no data to report, and probably we'll have no program to start with. A background for this, as most of you are aware, is that DHHS and indeed the nation, we have this current thing we call the Health People 2010, and we are currently in year 2008. So we have about 2 years to demonstrate some effectiveness and hopefully try to get some money. And cancer is definitely one of those diseases that are targeted for the reduction or elimination of disparities. And the National Cancer Institute, through the Center to Reduce Cancer Health Disparities, in 2005, awarded grants to 25 institutions and their partners to develop what we call the Community Networks Program. Part of the presentation you've heard this just before myself from Maryland is one of our grantees. However, we have the need for program evaluation, and this is very important, again, to demonstrate the effectiveness and to generate some evidence base to support what we are doing for decision making. I have no financial conflict of interest to disclose other than I'm a taxpayer and I'm contributing a dollar to the $700 billion. The purpose of my presentation is to describe to you briefly what is the NCI program about, the goals and objectives, and also what is the approach that we are using to evaluate this rather complex program. And as I indicated, is to present to you some progress that we've made to date and hopefully share with you what we plan to do next. We have 25 grantees, as I mentioned to you, and they are spread all over the country. If you could see at the bottom, we've color-coded, and the color-coding is not to match anybody's skin color. However, it's to indicate to you that we are serving all the minority population groups and also the low-income, underserved whites, because once you say minority population, the other side is majority. So we need to be frank about what we're talking about. So the underserved, particularly in the Appalachian region and somewhere high up in Boston, and you wonder if they have underserved in Boston, Massachusetts, but they do. The purpose of the CNP is to reduce cancer disparities in communities through community-based participatory education, research, and training, through CBPR, what you call the community-based participatory research, as a goal to significantly improve access to and the utilization of beneficial cancer interventions. And if you want to know what are those cancer beneficial cancer interventions, I'll refer you to the Cancer Planet. For those of you that are familiar with the Cancer Planet, is NCI's effort to collect those that have been shown somewhat evidence-based to have some effectiveness in prevention or controlling cancer epidemics. CBPR, what do we mean by community-based participatory research in the context of our project? It's basically working with communities in some scientific inquiry and in partnership with the researchers. More importantly, on the other side, what you know traditionally is that we have substantial input from communities when you are developing your grant applications. But most of the time, the community don't see you again until maybe they read that you publish or you get more money. But different from that, we are also encouraging our grantees to definitely include the communities in implementation as well as in the evaluation of the program of our funded programs. The CNP is in three phases, and unlike most of what you heard about phases, where phase one ends, phase two starts, and three, our phases are cumulative. So phase one runs through the entire life of the program. Phase two and phase three also the same. So by the time you get to phase three, you will have phase one activities, phase two activities also going on concurrently. To establish credibility and sustainability, it will not be a one-point cross-sectional thing. So you establish credibility and sustainability by what you're doing all the way through. The 25 sites are focused on these cancer sites, breast, cervical, colorectal, and prostate, and we're targeting all the population groups. 8 of the grantees work with African Americans, 4 with Hispanics, 4 with Native Americans, Alaska Natives, and I have one of my co-presenters speaking to you specifically in depth about the activities in the Indian country. We have 3 with Pacific Islanders, 2 in Asia. You hear about Asian and Pacific Islanders. We have taken the initiative to break up apart so we could get the uniqueness of that broadly aggregated population group. And we have 4 of our grantees dealing with the underserved in the Appalachian region especially. For evaluation, those of you that are in the business of evaluation, we have adopted the 6 steps framework that CDC put forth back in 99. And yours truly was part of that effort back then. But it has 6 steps. Engaging stakeholders is the first step. And the stakeholder meaning the funders, the people working in the field, and the community. And you continue to engage them really throughout the life of the process of evaluation. We are currently somewhere between steps 4 and 5. Hopefully, we're gathering credible evidence. And the credibility also depends on the reliability of our partners. We are hoping that we apply appropriate statistical techniques so we could justify our conclusions and recommendations, and hopefully, based on the credible evaluation and the process, our work will ensure some lessons learned will be used in hopefully in replication, and we've seen it that it's cyclical. So by the time you finish something, you discover something you didn't do well, and you come up with more programs, and hopefully you evaluate. It's like research. You evaluate your research, you come up with something you didn't do quite as well. This is a part that you may see or don't see well. I have color-coded at the top the focus of activities as well as the intermediate impact or outcomes. We have 5-year grants, so we are targeting those outcomes that we know could be accomplished within the 3 to 5 years. At the individual level, we are looking at increases in positive health behavior changes, increase in the utilization of screening and diagnostic and treatment, as well as accrual to clinical trials you have from Maryland. At the community level, we are looking to improve local referrals, including into clinical trials, improving the provider interaction with these disparate populations, as you heard. Also, people are likely to participate in clinical trials if talked to by their provider or encouraged by the provider. So we're trying to encourage this kind of patient-provider interaction. Hopefully, we also increase the number of health professionals from underserved population and managed population that will stay in these communities and continue the work. That's part of the sustainability. And as you know, IOM said to address disparities in this country, we definitely have to increase the pool of minority and underserved in the healthcare manpower. So we're trying to do our bit through these programs. And at the policy level, we are hoping that some of the data we will collect through our program could be used to inform policymakers and hopefully to continue to encourage them to increase access or policies that will ensure increases to access to screening, diagnosis, and treatment, maybe through Medicaid, some insurance through employers, and hopefully maybe we'll get some private sector people that will also pay for some treatment in the context of clinical trials. So I will present to you some selected samples of the progress we've made so far. For phase one, which is for infrastructure development, the data that we have to date document that infrastructure has been established by our CNPs across the various areas that they are serving. All our CNPs are required to partner with clinical and non-clinical partners, clinics and community-based organizations, And from the data that we have, they've established those partnerships, both formal and informal, and they have also conducted education of their partners so that they themselves could be better informed about the purpose and goals of the program, as well about this thing called cancer disparities. Not a lot of people really know that the disparities actually exist, so you have to educate folks. To date, our CNPs have conducted almost 6,000 community-based participatory research kind of activities, and by July of this year, they've done a lot of screening, recruitment, policy work, particularly, for instance, Dr. Claudia Bouquet is one of those that have managed that in the state of Maryland, you could even check on your income tax contribution to cancer fund. And she's also pretty good at using those tobacco restitution funds to benefit cancer research in the state of Maryland. And we have others like that, Howard Cole in New York, some other people in Arkansas. And they have leveraged through their effort and their partnering with their community-based organization, they have leveraged the little funds, but 100 million or so in 5 years, but they've leveraged our money thus far to have also raised more than $200 million of non-CRCHD fund through their own activities. And that is credibility, if you could get $200 million in 4 or 5 years. Among their partners, they have partners that engage in primary, secondary prevention activities as well as in treatment, even though we do not pay for treatment, but somehow they have also, through relationships, partnered with treatment facilities, particularly community health centers and cancer centers. Yeah, I have 5 minutes, so now I have to talk fast. As you can see, most of the activities that they are doing now among their partners is about smoking cessation, diet management, exercise, breast cancer, of course, you know about CDC's Breast and Cervical Cancer Project. We have NIST assessment, of course, by CBPR, you have to start with NIST assessment, and you make sure that the community participates here. You can make sure that your activities are actually responsive to the needs that the community have identified and prioritized. And as you can see, we have a number of our CNPs that are working on smoking cessation, 12 of them. A number of them are working on screening for cancer, 14 on breast and cervical cancer, as well, and prostate cancer as well, and patient navigation for survivorship and support. For phase two, they have increased positive health behavior changes, increased the use of beneficial intervention, particularly screening, and we've trained a number of competitive junior investigators who have gone on to be able to win and get awards from NIH beyond our own grants, and they've published extensively in scientific journals. In the interest of time, this is smoking cessation. They've gone from a control of 31% to 51% among the intervention group in a very short time, within 6 months. We are targeting youth smoking prevention, so we keep them from starting smoking at all. As you know, prevention is better than cure, particularly in smoking. If you keep them from smoking, you have a better chance than trying to get them to quit. Prevention services, particularly among Asian and Pacific Islanders, include hepatitis B. And as you could see, consecutively in the last 3 years, they've managed to increase the number of participants that are in the hepatitis B screening. Qualitative data, we have people that are focusing on adolescents in clinical trials, prevention clinical trials, and the parents, because you're talking about adolescents, you have to get the parent consent. So the parents consented their kids, and they themselves later volunteered to participate in clinical trials themselves. Breast cancer, we have people that have been creative, particularly in rural areas, using mobile mammogram vans, and where before they started, only 8% of their target population reported having had mammograms. 6 months later, it's increased to more than a quarter, 26% or so. Cervical cancer, again, as you could see, at baseline, they found that about 63% of folks, 62, reported having had PAP tests. Later, 6 months later, through community education activities, referring people to partner clinics. Of the 142 referred to particular clinic, 128 or 90% of them had actually in 6 months gone there for their PAP test. Prostate cancer is a little tricky because of the ambiguity of the clinical management. However, again, where we found that very small percentage of people reported having their PSA, within 6 months later, we have 55% that have shown up for their PSA at one partner site, and at another partner site, 16 of the 16 that promised to go there, 100% all of them have gone for their PSA. Again, the same success in colorectal. And creatively, some of our folks are using home health parties, where you invite people to your own home for community involvement, and they've shown also to that to be effective. We are navigating people, so we're getting people from screening. If you send people for screening, eventually people will be found with abnormal finding. And part of why people don't go is if they find something, what they're going to do about it. So we are navigating them into treatment, and as I showed, we have some partners that that's what they do, treatment. Our clinical trials in the Native American country particularly, but I will not belabor this since I have somebody that will be presenting. But again, they are using some creative things that are culturally specific, culturally appropriate. We've trained over 300, average of 15 investigators per site, and they have gone on to get a lot of NIH and non-NIH grants. I have 1 minute left, which is 60 seconds. Our junior investigators have gotten all sorts of awards in different mechanisms, K for Career Awards. They've gotten individual research, mental research awards, R01s, R03s, those prestigious things. And they've also been able to gain what we call diversity supplements, whereby we attach them to established investigators for training. They're advancing science, they're publishing. And as you can see, that is what the pilot projects that are being done by the junior investigators, those are the targets. Phase three, they are establishing credibility. The communities are working with them. So we are working with some of our community partners to know how to write grant applications so they could also win grant for themselves. And the policymakers are even coming to some of our steering committee meetings. And we have state policymakers that are now members of steering committees. The CBPR program is working. They are gaining trust and respect in the community. We are raising cancer awareness, and we are communicating using our junior investigators as gatekeepers to communicate cancer information to the community. As you can see, they're working all over the community. Advisory groups are very important, so that this is part of sustainability. You have people in the community that will continue to advocate. We're working with other parts of NCI, other parts of HHS, CDC, HRSA, CMS for paying for bills. And for next steps, we are hoping to continue to work with our grantees. And for those of you in the room that work with the PIs, we'll continue to come to you for more data. And as you see, in order for us to get continued funding through reissuance, we need the data to show effectiveness of our program. If you ask for more money, they're going to ask, what have you done for me lately? So thank you very much for your attention.